And welcome, everybody, to the first of our rebooted, reformatted, reformulated, re-energized, regenerated, revitalized, recreated, and recreated world-famous Phil Hendry Shows. Man, it has been a while, and we're very happy to be with you, happy to be back on the radio. It ain't been that long, because we've been in touch with everybody via our website, philhendryshow.com, and at philhendryshow.com, if you have a backstage pass, I know it sounds like a pitch. It really isn't. I mean, it is, but it's a very necessary thing. I have to kind of step into this and tell you. You need to have a backstage pass to be a part of the show 100%, because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that happens. And when I say a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, I ain't kidding, man. I ain't just whistling Dixie. All right, look, I'm not going to screw around too much. I want to get into the essence of what the show is going to be about here over the next few days, perhaps the next few weeks, and that is we're going to be talking about what the show is about, and the best way to describe what the show is about is to show you what the show is about. And so that's what we're going to start doing right now. We're going to be playing some classic bits from the days of yore, as in your, you know, your past and our past. We're going to start out here with Brad Rifkin, a Las Vegas insurance agent. He's going to be talking about animation and how pornography may be actually an acceptable thing if we can just animate it. Wait till you see the extent, the lengths this guy goes to, the depths he sinks to. Brad Rifkin, animation and porn.
Brad, you have been on our program before because you are heavily involved in the not only just the advertising business, but creating ideas for different companies. Now, you are going to be, or were going to be, at the Animators Convention in Las Vegas working with a company that you started. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Philly, the company doesn't have a very original name, but you have to understand in this line of work, in the particular kind of animation we're going to be doing, it's applicable. The company is called La Vida Loca Productions. Having said that, we think that we have hit upon something that is going to respond to a need in the marketplace. We did want to preview this at the Animators Convention in Las Vegas. They have told us that we are not welcome there. We are considering a legal challenge to that because every other animator that we can possibly think of is going to be at this convention.
All right, but it is the nature of the animation that you're talking about that has these people up in arms. You understand that, right?
Well, I understand their objection, yes. But they have failed to address the cogent point that we made to them about the kind of animation we're talking about.
Well, let's let our audience know. And then I'll let you have your say, and you can give me your rationale, but let's let our audience know what this animation is. This is essentially kiddie porn, isn't it?
No, I don't think it is.
Is it not animation featuring the images of children?
It's animation featuring the images of children, yes, that would be accurate.
Is it not pornography?
Let's be clear. When we talk about child pornography, that is illegal.
Can I just interrupt you?
No, I need to finish this point, though, because this is not illegal.
No, but can we first say what it is? It's child pornography, isn't it?
No, I would say it is not. I would say that it is pornography that features the images of children, but it is animated. And the difference, Mr. Andre, is that there is no child being used or hurt or abused in the production of this. And understand that the number one criticism and the number one reason why child pornography is illegal, which, by the way, I happen to agree with, you'd get an argument from some of these animators that I talked to over the last couple of months, but I happen to agree with that, is that children are hurt. Well, no children are hurt when you are animating it.
And all right, so you asked to have your films, or the animated DVDs that have been produced by your company, La Vida Loca Productions.
That's correct. Shown at the Animators Convention.
All right, displayed at this Animators Convention. Do you honestly believe that anybody's going to allow this in a convention where people are children?
Well, no. You have to understand that there are areas where adult fare is featured, where children children under 18 are not allowed to enter. There are viewing booths. There's all manner of protections that are provided by the exhibitors, so that this, you know, so that the people who are under the age of 18 won't see it. Now, let's say this, and I want to get this point out. I said to these people, you prove to me how this is child pornography, and I'll withdraw my request and my threat of a legal challenge. And the only answer I got back was, it's sick, it's twisted, it is pornography that depicts children and so forth. And I said, wait a second, it's an image of a child, but there's no kid in it. All right.
Do you have kids?
That's not a fair question.
I just wanted to know, do you have children?
Again, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
Well, you've been asked that question before, I know.
Yeah, I have been asked that question before, because that's the question that people ask when they are no longer able to mount an argument. Now, I'm giving the animators and the exhibitors associated with the International Expo there in Las Vegas 60 days to respond to my attorney's request that our application be processed and that we be given exhibitor space on the Florida convention while we observe these prescriptions against anyone under the age of 18 to see it. Now,
let me interrupt you and ask you this. Do you understand people's objection?
Well,
I mean, do you understand that when somebody says, I don't want to, what are you talking about, man? This is child pornography. All right, you say it's animated, so there's no kids being hurt. But the fact is, it is a debasing images of children. And to want to have space.
Look at it. I've built my reputation, Mr. Hendry, on thinking outside of the box. That's probably the thing that scares a lot of people in my business.
Well, this is thinking outside of the box. I'm not going to say it's illegal. I don't know. But we may get some calls from people who know the law. But
No, it's not illegal. It's the images. It's animated. See, so right there, anybody that tries to say that it's child pornography, they're wrong. I say, well, where are the children that are being used? And they say, well, they're right. I say, well, they were drawn. They're not even real kids. They're drawn.
All right, our number here on the Phil Hendry Show, I'm speaking with Brad Rifkin with the Rifkin Advertising and his production company, La Vida Loca Productions, which is a pretty, I think it's a sick name for a company that's proffering DVDs of animated child pornography. And
no, wait. Well, that's not the only thing we're involved in. We've got a lot of, we've got our own Girls Gone Wild series. We've got a number of things that we do, but what I'm saying is, this is a million. Look, there's real money to be made here because there's a market. I'm sorry that there are people who are into this kind of thing. I personally am not, but we identified a market that we could market to legally, and we're asking for exhibitor space.
An animated series of kiddie porn. Now, you don't want me calling it child pornography.
No, because there's no children being used.
So you're saying that it is pornography using the images of children.
Right. And I think it's, if you think about it, the people that are protesting against it, they haven't got a leg to stand on, because what kid's being hurt? See, there's no kid getting hurt. That's number one. Number two, it just doesn't make any sense.
Because the images themselves debase children. And they not only debase children, they debase the people that make them. They debase human beings.
Well, there's nothing. What do you mean debase? There's no law against debasing yourself. I understand that in a perfect world, we all think a certain way and we all want certain things. But this world is not perfect. I'm a businessman. And I identify a market, but
isn't there some place, this is what we all, the argument that we all get into, isn't there a place where we draw the line? Isn't there some place?
Mr. Henry, nobody's getting murdered. No one's getting killed. You criticize me, perhaps, but who's the guy that does this Faces of the Dead? You've seen that one, haven't you?
Faces of Death, yeah.
Faces of Death. Now, can you imagine the individuals that get their rocks off looking at a man, getting decapitated or this kind of thing. And that's a hot seller. And people rent that.
All right, let's get back to this when we get back to it, okay? It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's part of our reboot, baby. That's Brad Ripken talking about kiddie porn as animation. Back here, it is the Phil Hendry Show. It's part of our reboot here as we begin our second phase or third phase or whatever you want to call it of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're kind of showing off. We're rolling some of the best of bits over the many, many years that we did the show here for national syndication. We're back here nationally. And for all of, by the way, all the radio stations that are still with us, and there will be more to come. You'll be joined by others. As we said on our website the other day, you know, God bless you, man. I mean, you are part of the vanguard. You are the ones that will walk in glory with us. I don't want to get too weird. Returning to Brad Ripken, an advertising executive in Las Vegas, Nevada. This guy believes in somehow making pornography acceptable, even something as vile and base. Well, you listen here as he decides that animation is the way to go.
All right, and the Animators Convention will not allow you there, and that isn't that their right?
I don't know. My attorney is going to look into that. I don't think it is. I mean, we have a viable product. We are following all the prescriptions that are laid down for anyone that is exhibiting adult material. We have said we will have segregated viewing areas. We said that we will have limited viewing areas. We've gone the extra mile to make these people secure the knowledge that we will follow the rules of the convention. And yet they say, no, we don't want it because it's kiddie porn. And when I say to them, no, it's not because we're not using any kids, then what happens is what happens to everybody that I talk about this product to. Then they get, my business is called, you get dumb real fast. Some people get smart, some people get dumb. They don't have don't have an answer to that.
La Vida Loca Productions, animated child pornography. Because no children are being used, because it's animated, because there's no kid being used, it's not hurting any kids, it's just animated. And he wants space at the Animators Convention in Las Vegas in 2 months to sell his wares. He has DVDs, and I don't know what else, and I, to be honest with you, I don't even want to know. But the fact is, they're mounting a legal challenge to this Animators Convention to allow them to exhibit this stuff. The argument being, since it's animated, there are no children involved, it doesn't break any laws. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. FUBAR. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Brad Ripken from La Vida Loca Productions. Why the name La Vida Loca?
Well, it's if you're involved in adult entertainment, it's kind of a wild, it invokes.
Do you consider this animated, these animated images of child pornography, do you consider this to be adult entertainment?
Look, again, Mr. Henry, I don't endorse it, but there's real money to be made with
Real money to be made with who? Pedophiles? With
I don't even know that you could call an individual who watches this a pedophile because it's not a real kid. A pedophile is an individual that hurts a real kid. But what do you call a guy that looks at an animated image of a kid? For instance, is it, and here's the one that always, whenever I argue with people about this, this always kind of stops them cold in their tracks. And I'll give you an example. When Elmer Fudd shoots Bugs Bunny, is that animal cruelty?
Well, it's an exaggerated look.
No. The question is, when Elmer Fudd shoots Bugs Bunny, is that animal cruelty? Yes or no? further, Mr. Henry, does Elmer Fudd shooting Bugs Bunny, does that give people the idea it's okay to go out and just blast animals with a double-barrel shotgun in the middle of a neighborhood, which is generally where, if you look at these cartoons, this character Elmer Fudd generally is living in a subdivision, and he goes out and he's using a double-barrel shotgun to kill stuff on his street. So does Elmer Fudd promote violence to animals?
I would say no.
All right. Then how can you say that animated images of kitty porn promotes kitty porn? You can't. It's impossible. And every time I say that to people who argue against what we do, it stops them cold in their tracks. So then I say, all right, then give us exhibitor space at the animators convention. They go, no, we can't do that. Because I find in the advertising business, more often than not, you're not dealing with intelligence so much as you're dealing with perception, and the perception is not necessarily, you know, coming from intelligent people.
Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine.
First of all, his analogy with Elmer Fudd is, how often do you see talking rabbits out in the world?
Well, true.
Well,
exactly.
I mean,
in other words, it's not real. That's what I'm saying.
But yet children can
have
be
you
involved.
Ever, have you seen our films?
No, sir.
All right, then how do you know what's on our films?
I'm sorry, did you just use the word child pornography?
No, I said animated images.
I'm sorry, sir, animated images of what?
Of child pornography.
Okay, so thank you, sir. So you're pretty much saying that you are showing child pornography,
correct? No, I'm not. No, because child pornography has a specific definition. Real children. This is an animated image. Just as killing an animal is different from the animated image of killing an animal.
And how many times did Elmer Fudd actually kill Bugs Bunny?
It doesn't matter. He took a gun, he aimed it at Bugs Bunny, and he blew its brains out. Whether he reassembled his brains later on is...
Well, let's get to the point here. This animated child pornography, Mr. Rifkin, that you're marketing, is it fantastic in that way? Do the kids somehow disassemble into something else and become... You know what I mean? Is it like Japanese anime where it's all very phantasmagoric?
Well, I don't know what you mean by Japanese anime. I'm not a big fan of Japanese anime. The point that I'm making, I don't know what you're asking.
I'm asking, this man made the point, the Bugs Bunny talks.
Doesn't matter. I'm talking about the moment of violence between a shotgun and a rabbit. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, is that it?
But you should make a point with that. Go ahead. What's the point?
The point is that moment of violence between an animated character and an animated animal is no more real than animated so-called child pornography. It's not real because nothing's really getting hurt.
You're making a comparison of something that would never happen. Compared to something that could actually happen.
Look, I've got experience.
Product,
what do you mean never would? Are you telling me a guy would never shoot a rabbit? Are you telling me that could never happen? I have experience.
You meet the man with a talking rabbit, and I'll make
no,
it
no, no, no. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy shooting a rabbit. Not whether it talks or not, just a guy shooting a rabbit. I led a campaign for 3 years. That they stopped with the Yogi Bear cartoon because it intimated that bears were idiots and you could go in and shoot them because they're morons that wear hats. People said, well, it's not real. Okay, you don't think it's real, but here's a bear. All it wants is a picnic basket, some ranger that's an idiot. How do you know that this doesn't inspire people to go out there and brutalize bears? Or even so much want to go out and put a hat on one and a tie on it and mock it.
I love the way you just voiced that because I want to ask you the question. How do you know that your material is not going to inspire someone to go out and perform sexual activities with a child?
Ah, see, you didn't hear the rest of my statement. I wanted to call it Jellystone because that's the kind of insidious hold it has.
Wait, hold on for a minute. I never knew it was called. I always knew it was yellow.
Well, hold on. I'm just saying, then I said to myself, well, that's ridiculous. No one's going to put a tie on a bear. But this gentleman on the phone that I'm talking to right now, Mr. Henry, thinks that now people are going to go out into Yellowstone and put ties and hats on bears. That's what you think, isn't it?
That's not the action that's taking place that you're arguing.
No, you seem to think that animated...
What are you talking about? Is there any evidence...
Did you ever watch a Yogi Bear episode where you saw...
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got segment three. It's Brad Rifkin, who is an advertising executive, and he is talking with me about animating very unacceptable things. If you animate something that's completely unacceptable, does it make it cool? I don't think so, but hey... Welcome to the reboot of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. That's where you go and get all of this, 5,000 hours more of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back because we've got a lot more history to make with this show. Welcome back. It is the Phil Henry Show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, because I imagine that somewhere in the world somebody's listening to us, and whoever listens to this show, man, automatically we're famous, I think. Anyway, we are listening to Brad Rifkin, who's an advertising executive in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking about wanting to show his so-called anime at a convention, and it is grotesquely unacceptable. Animated images, are they made more, pornographic images, are they made more acceptable by them being animated? And they're into a discussion here of Yogi Bear, which is not pornographic, but Yogi the Bear wearing a tie and a hat and looking like an idiot. And if we make bears look stupid, does that incite people into violence against them because they're so dumb? You know what I mean? Probably not. I don't even know what I mean. I don't know what Brad means. That's the more important issue here as we continue with Brad Rifkin talking to me about his asinine animation ideas.
When go out and put his hat and tie on?
I saw Yogi Bear episodes that trivialized and minimalized the bear in the wild. And
are you kidding?
You're not trivializing anything. You're showing flat out real situation in an animated fashion. I mean, have you ever?
Yes, but I'm saying that it doesn't affect anyone as brutally as a Yogi Bear cartoon. Because
how does Yogi the Bear?
You don't know how pornography is brutal.
It is brutal. Real child pornography is brutal. Animated child pornography. There's a question there. Now, if you want me not to hat, great. Then how come I've got to look at a bear with a hat? And what does that do? You know, we just had a grizzly bear that made it with a polar bear.
Well, why don't you have bears?
What are you talking
Why don't you have bears in your pornography?
Well, what do you, want to see animals get brutalized?
What's brutalizing an animal by putting a hat and a tie on it?
I'm just telling, this gentleman seems to think that animation is real.
Did you say that you led a boycott of Hanna-Barbera because of the Yogi Bear cartoon?
I had concerns.
Why?
Because I thought it made a bear look like an ass, if you want to make make the point.
All right, Dave, thanks for your call. 1-800-4- A bear made a bear look like an ass.
Yes.
All right. But then what?
Then I realized that I was, to quote my son, likes to use this phrase, hey, Dad, you're smoking rocks. You know, come on. I felt strongly about it. But when I saw the light...
When you saw the light, now you've got animated kiddie porn, and you don't care about bears with hats.
It's as harmful to a kid as a tie is on Yogi the Bear.
Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you're bringing up Yogi Bear, and you're bringing up... Bugs Bunny getting his head blown off. I never saw Bugs Bunny get his head blown off.
No, well, if you didn't see in one particular animated version of the Warner Brothers cartoons, Daffy Duck takes both barrels of a shotgun full to the face. Now, you tell me if that promotes, you know, blowing a duck's face off, or is that simply a animated image?
My point is that the image is so exaggerated of the duck and the man in those cartoons that no one could really take that to mean cruelty to animals, whereas animated child pornography, you say there's real money to be made.
Yeah, there's people out there that want to, they know it's not real.
What, are they enjoying it the same way someone enjoys a Bugs Bunny cartoon? You know, one of the things that we find fun about the Bugs Bunny cartoon with him getting a shotgun to the face is the humor. Is there humor in your animated child pornography?
Well, no, it's not whether it's humorous, whether there is a theme, okay? There's a theme. One may be humor, the other may be something else, but every night I'm looking at Greta Van Susteren talking about this Natalie Holloway girl. Every single night she drags that poor little girl's dead body into my living room. Every night Fox News drags another corpse into my living room. Now, should that be illegal? Should that be told, you know, should I go to New York to Greta Van Susteren and tell her that she's brutalizing me by dragging that poor child, Natalie Holloway, who's been dead for I don't know how long now, that if, and you know that Van Susteren, if she could actually drag that poor child's decomposed remains into my living room, she would. No one's coming down on her. Nobody's hitting her over the head with a sledgehammer. And you, what do you think Natalie Holloway looks like now? And I say that with all due...
All right, you're making your point.
No, but I'm saying it with all due respect. And you're coming down on me about...
Greta Van Susteren's investigating a murder.
Oh, come on, investigating. Mr. Henry, you know as well as I do that these people are not journalists. These people are entertainers masking as news readers or newscasters. Greta Van Susteren dreams of the day that they find Natalie Holloway's decomposed remains, and she could prop them up. I have been through a very emotional period because of this.
And finish what you were going to say.
About what?
About Natalie Holloway.
I think Greta Van Susteren dreams of the day that they find Natalie Holloway's remains, and Greta Van Susteren can prop them up in a chair next to her and interview them. That's how sick I think that woman is, and yet everybody's coming down on me.
I don't get it, man. I don't.
What don't you get?
I don't understand what you're saying. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Dave, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just like to make a point, Mr. Henry, that the kiddie pornography, it is so wrong in our society. And when we look at cartoons, and
I agree with you.
The cartoon is a kid show. And it's made to have humor.
No, it's not.
As you grow up, you know the cartoon is not real.
Sir, not all animation is for children. The Japanese anime that Mr. Henry just referred to is very definitely adult animation.
Pornography is very, you know, is not for kids.
Right.
So how can you compare Bugs Bunny and Yogi the Bear to your kiddie pornography?
Doesn't that promote the humiliation of wildlife?
Oh, you know, we are human beings. We are superior over animals.
We
have the brains. We can determine. We can hunt them, but they cannot. God gave us that ability.
You should have an argument with somebody from
human and animal.
You ought to have a discussion with somebody from PETA, because those people would tell you that it is wrong to, you know, stick a tie on a bear and have him talking to a ranger.
Oh, no, they wouldn't,
man.
Please. No, they
wouldn't. You're talking about a cartoon episode.
No, what I'm saying is those people...
Know, we don't do that in real life. How many kids you know that grow up watching Yogi the Bear and Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd and say that, oh, we're going to go out there with a double barrel shotgun and shoot the rabbit?
Wait a minute. That's my point.
All my life, and I never go out there and shoot any rabbit.
That's my point.
A double barrel shotgun.
That's my point.
Because I know it's right and wrong.
That's my point.
What you are doing, sir, is you promoting child pornography to people, and you think that is right?
Wait a minute.
That is not right.
You just got done saying that if you saw Elmer Fudd unload two barrels of a 12-gauge into Donald Duck's face, that it wouldn't cause a kid to go out and do it. Therefore, you have to. Then you've got to use the same argument. When I've got perfectly good animated, the animated kiddie porn we've got. Look at.
Well, let me read the titles here. Here we have it. What is this? Super Baby versus Lolita in Diapers.
It's just the title.
Versus Lolita in Diapers.
What does the theme of your movie portray? That having sex with the children, that's okay?
Well, wait a minute. Again,
That's what you're doing, right? You're exploiting child pornography. And
no.
You think that's right?
But you think it's okay to shoot Daffy Duck in the face?
It's a cartoon, dude.
Mine is a cartoon.
We all know that cartoon is for fun, for kids. It's humor. It's like, you know, the coyote can never catch the roadrunner.
Let me put it to you
this
way.
Every episode is like that. It's just a cartoon.
So the roadrunner in the coyote cartoons depict a coyote which is endangered in three of the southwestern states, getting blown to bits by a rocket, getting on on rocket skates and hitting a locomotive. I mean, this is... Oh,
come on, man. There's not a coyote alive that sent away for rocket skates.
So that is true, too. I mean, I guess I'm going to have to assume that that's true. Not a coyote alive that sent away for rocket skates. A very, very bizarre series here with Brad Rifkin, an advertising executive from Las Vegas, Nevada, as he talks to us here about his ideas of animation. All right, we got also coming up next hour, we're going to be talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That's always a treat and a half. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police next hour. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com, by the way, if you want to get a backstage pass and get really into the background of this radio show, What We Got. Welcome back here. Final segment here with Brad Rifkin, the advertising executive, with the idea that animating things just makes it all so good, no matter what the subject matter. Brad Rifkin and his cheesy animation ideas, and I think we're into a discussion now about whether the coyote and the roadrunner and Yogi the Bear, getting them blown to bits with shotguns, whether any of that is acceptable. Here we are.
But there are farmers and hunters like Elmer Fudd that blow Daffy Duck's face into tomorrow with a shotgun, and yet nobody complains about that. Now I would say
we hunt when people if they're a hunter that out there.
I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Food, look, hunting ducks for food. That's fine. That's their way of living. That's our human race.
Hunting ducks for food. Look,
yes.
If you look at all right, let's talk about adult porn for a minute. In adult porn, every adult porn movie ends with a certain thing, and I'm not going to say what it is. You know what it is, sir, and you do, Mr. Andrew, as well. All right. What's the difference between that thing that ends every adult porn movie and some guy unloading a shotgun on the Daffy Duck's face?
Oh, man. So, in other words, now you're telling me that Elmer Fudd shooting Daffy Duck is somehow a sexual act.
I think it could be interpreted that way, yes. Well, you can laugh if you want. But meanwhile, Greta Van Susteren is dragging Natalie Holloway's carcass through the...
And the thing about Natalie Holloway, come on, man. You think that by bringing her up on the Fox News, We are investigating a murder.
What is happening?
What happened to her?
Well, what's happening, Dave? What's happening here with this, Mr. Rifkin? You are like so many people who purvey this kind of garbage. You use this so-called. You use the so-called ills of society to make what you do all right. You use the exploitation of the press. You use images from just about any kind of medium to say, well, hell, if they do that, then I can do this. And
again, there's no kid being hurt. It's all made up. It's a made-up kid.
But it debases. And I'm not saying it's illegal, but I don't think that the Animators Convention should be forced or compelled by a judge to allow you onto the space of their convention. These are animators who are part of an organization, are they not?
Well, look, what are you all of a sudden representing?
No, are they part of an organization?
Yes.
All right, then they have a right to set the rules of their organization, do they not?
They are, but I don't see anything in their organizational rules that say that they can't have animated kiddie porn. See? Yeah, gotcha. Right there. You know, I should have played basketball because at the buzzer, I'd be hitting just as soft as a baby going to bed, man. I'd be hitting a swish 25-footer, and then I'd reach for the Gatorade, wink at the camera, fade to black, up on whoever, you know, Jillian Barbary given the weather.
All right. Mr. Brad Rifkin and his animated kiddie porn series, Super Baby and Lolita in Diapers. What a sick, sick freak. And then he says that Greta Van Susteren's the real criminal because if she could, she'd drag Natalie Holloway's decomposed remains out, stick them in a chair next to her, and interview them. Wow. It's Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. Communist influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Say it to my audience.
I'd be very happy to say it, Mr. Hendry.
Well, what was it?
All right. I said, if Greta Van Susteren had her way, once they found that poor child Natalie Holloway's corpse, Van Susteren would bring it on her show and dance with it.
Oh, man. You really got to debase other people to make your act seem palpable.
Debase other people night after night after night?
She's covering a news story, man. Whether she does it with taste is another thing entirely. But Greta Van Susteren hasn't done what you're saying.
She'd bring it out. Did you ever see Interview with a Vampire when Tom Cruise dances with that dead woman? That's what she'd do. She'd go dancing about the set.
Oh, boy, you got a real sick imagination, don't you? And you're a guy who is...
Mr. Henry, you are the one who is characterizing me as sick. I'm simply a businessman. I've identified a market, and I'm trying to meet my customers' needs.
Meet your customers' needs, man? You're talking about animated kiddie porn, dude, whether it's real kids or not. You're meeting the needs of some twisted people.
And Van Susteren dancing with Natalie Holloway's corpse? What needs is she meeting?
She hasn't done that, man.
I say she has symbolically.
Well, symbolically is one thing.
Yeah, you know, about the whole Holloway thing.
Ma'am, can I ask you, this is Brad Rifkin. Don't you think that Greta Van Susteren would dance with Natalie Holloway's corpse? What's her name?
Holloway.
Dance with her corpse?
No, I don't think so. I think, actually, the more and more that are on TV is only because more leads come in. I mean, don't you understand
more
that
leads?
When they put...
When
more leads.
Ma'am,
I mean, don't you know that every
year and
time...
A half? And there's no more, they're no closer to finding that poor child than they were the first day.
They've actually turned their first initial suspect to a different suspect.
I think
so. Now they've seen that it actually is somebody that's from the Holiday Inn hotel or whatever the hotel is.
I think that woman would do the boogaloo. With
no,
all right, you're sick.
Hold on. First of all, what good comes out of your stuff? I mean, like, if there is a problem, I mean, do you realize that there are kids walking home from school and pedophiles pick them up and take them and mutilate them? Okay, there's a problem with it. So what are you doing to help the problem? You're actually contributing to the problem.
Well, ma'am,
I mean,
say that Bugs Bunny contributes to the problem.
No, and exactly. First of all, if you actually look in most cartoon channels, you don't see those things anymore. A lot of them have been eliminated. You can get them on video or something, but they're almost never on Cartoon Network or anything anymore. They're usually like space characters and stuff.
Let me ask you this. Can I walk into a Blockbuster and go over to the cartoon section, and if I'm an 8- or 9-year-old child, can I not still rent those videos?
Okay, but here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Wait a minute. Let her finish.
When right now, if there is a... Can we go out and shoot anything? No. we can be land up in jail if you shoot illegally. If you do not have permits, they're getting more strict on what you can and cannot do. You can't just go blow things. And first of all, a pig is not going to go blow up a donkey. I mean, a pig is not going to blow up a donkey.
No, I didn't say a pig. I said Elmer Fudd, which was a guy.
No. Elmer Fudd was a pig with a little hat on. Elmer Fudd was not a guy.
Elmer Fudd was a guy. You're thinking of Porky Pig.
No.
Porky Pig was a pig. Elmer Fudd was a guy. Who was he not, Mr. Henry?
Well, I think Elmer Fudd was
human. He was a little dwarf.
He was a little dwarf of a guy.
Oh, I see. So dwarfs are okay to shoot rabbits. You people.
No. Hold on. Let me ask you one thing. Is it okay for anyone? Can I just go shoot a rabbit right now? No.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. I have to go get a permit. I have to be registered. My gun has to be registered. There's a lot of things that go.
But it's still legal.
Can I register to be a pedophile?
It's still legal to blow a duck's face halfway around the world.
What is it with you and the duck's face?
The point is,
Mr. Henry, the sex act, as we know it in pornography, is decried as debasing to the human experience. But I say to you, the children every Saturday morning see the symbolic sex act enacted with Elmer Fudd's shotgun being a penis.
All right. Okay.
I'm just trying to say, this guy's mental. Do we have a problem with child pornography?
Yes, obviously we do, ma'am. Okay. But I'm not doing that.
Care?
This is animated.
I'm just trying to ask. Do you care in today's society how many kids and parents have to go through that their children do not come home because of some sicko who wants to do whatever he can to his child and then when it's done, murder them? Do you care? I mean, what are you doing to contribute to help the problem?
Good question.
I mean, do you see that you're actually contributing to make the problem worse?
Well, I mean, what can one man do? I'm trying to make a nice dollar here. All I'm trying to do is...
You're trying to make a nice dollar... While we further debase and sexualize children, while we further drag ourselves down as a people. Don't you understand, man, that sometimes you just drag yourself down into the sewer so far? I mean, what has become of us that we sexualize children?
Mr. Henry, I didn't invent this world. I'm trying to make a beautiful dollar.
Well, you're not making a beautiful dollar.
No, he's not making a beautiful dollar, and he never did make a beautiful dollar, did he? There he is, Brad Rifkin, and... one of the classic hours we did on the whole idea of animating things, whether it's pornography or whatever, does that somehow all of a sudden make everything just a beautiful dollar? You're listening here to the reboot, the recommence of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. To our affiliates, to our listeners, to people watching us online, we're so grateful to have you back with us. We're so grateful to be back on the air, and we're grateful to be back in a situation and an environment where creatively we're going to be able to really stretch and do the things that we want to do. We got some great partners in our syndication effort, Ron Hartenbaum and the guys at WID, everybody, people at Dial Global. We're just really, really excited, and we're glad to be back. Please join us online as well at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can be watching the show right now as well as listening to it, okay? You can be accessing close to 5,000 hours of our archives. You can be watching our webisodes. You can be watching other animated features. You can be not the kind that he's talking about. You can be watching us doing interviews, listen to our radio interviews, and so on and so forth. On down the line. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we've got Jay Santos. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Hour 2. This hour, we got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And who knows what this is about. Some kind of an interdiction on the part of Jay and his sub-commanders. Reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. For those of you who want to get a backstage pass, if you have a backstage pass, head on over right now because we're actually video casting, as we do each and every night that we do the show. So we're on live on Phil TV as well as The podcast of the show available the next day, as well as our classic podcasts. It's a beautiful thing. Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police here, folks. To be perfectly honest with you, I've completely spaced as to what this is about. What is on Jay's mind? Let's listen to Jay and the sub-commanders as they protect us from, well, from them.
It may be called the state police.
We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and Jay is speaking with us about something you've probably heard a lot about. You've heard of it called crank or ice. What are some of the street names, Jay, for methamphetamine?
You pretty much got them covered there, Phil. Crank, ice, sometimes called crystal, sometimes called crystal meth. It is a derivative, Phil, originally of a drug which is very prominent in the late 60s, early 70s, called methadrine. And methamphetamine is simply cut with more rougher grades, perhaps not as pure a form of amphetamine.
And then it's ground up and snorted, is that it?
That is primarily the way that the drug is used, that's correct. And there is a veritable epidemic right now of methamphetamine, as you indicated before, that is making its way not only into the cities, Phil. I think you sort of might have misspoke a little bit, but methamphetamine is being used by all kinds of individuals, primarily individuals who are not traditional offenders, traditional perpetrator. When you're speaking about the drug problem, traditional perpetrator may be, not always, but maybe a person of color. Now you have methamphetamine, which is being used, manufactured primarily by whites, and used primarily by white people, who are then manufacturing it and bringing it into the cities where it is sold primarily to African-American school children. So it is.
So in other words, this is a reverse in the trend where whites are selling to blacks as opposed to the traditional stereotype of the black drug dealer sending his drugs into the outlying white areas?
That is it. And I can tell you, Phil, as I sit here as a member of law enforcement, Citizens Auxiliary Police is a voluntary police agency, but I think we all know, we do have constitutional citizen arrest powers, and we all know the police are overworked, so we know that there's a lot more need than just police. It's difficult for me on the front line of law enforcement, and I want you to know that there is no racism, not only not in me, and not at all in any of my fellow Citizens Auxiliary Police officers. But there is, and I'm sure your audience understands, there is a little bit of sadness, I suppose, when you find yourself targeting and pulling over mostly whites, people who you traditionally thought were perhaps above the, you know, this kind of thing.
And what do you mean traditionally?
Well, most of
when I think of methamphetamine, I think of, and maybe this is wrong of me, but I think of kind of strung out white trash bikers, truck drivers, not truck drivers per se, but this kind of dudes that got some problems, you know, those kind of whites.
Well, Phil, that was the traditional view of the methamphetamine user. There's all kinds of people who deal it. Traditionally, yeah, you do have your mountain trash, trail trash, but methamphetamine is a drug that is speed, and it does seem to appeal to a wider range of white. And as a result, we're probably going to have to do a flare drop. And most likely we'll do a flare drop this weekend.
All right, now the flare drop that you're talking about is a system where you drop flares on a highway, narrowing the passage of traffic?
That is correct, Phil. We can do it at any given time if we feel it's necessary on the major roads leading into metropolitan areas. We've got a lot of auxiliary police forces around the country, Beaver Brigade up in Oregon. Of course, you got the Gator Brigade. Minutemen, the simulated militiamen in Pennsylvania. Flare drop is when you drop flares from the vehicle, subcommander cruiser, and you narrow the traffic down. And it's not as bad as it sounds. We simply want to stop, take a peek in the car. We will ask people if they do have methamphetamine. If they say no, then we do ask them to, we'll do a quick, what we call a very cursory check, which is what we call a checkpoint scan.
And what does that consist of?
That's very simple. We use it with a flashlight. We ask people to tilt their heads back. And if we can see any residual crystal powder or any kind of that.
All right, so you're asking people point blank, are you carrying any methamphetamines or anything like that?
That is correct.
And then you do what is called a checkpoint scan?
A checkpoint scan where we ask the people in the vehicle to tilt their heads back no more than a 45-degree angle, at which point then Subcommander Wilson or Subcommander Johnson will use a flashlight and check for any residual powder effect around the nostril area. And that, of course, indicates whether or not they most recently have snorted it, or what they call snorting it. And it is my very... It's very difficult for me to say this, but primarily we will be pulling over whites.
You're going to be pulling over Caucasian drivers?
That's correct, yes, sir.
The use of methamphetamine with my special guest Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is something that is in increasing usage, and according to him and individuals that work with his agency, it's primarily white people that are using it. As the result, this flare drop you're going to be doing, will black motorists be...
Well, if we see black motorists, Phil, we do have a pass lane. We'll go ahead and wave them on through. I don't know if you've been down to the border checkpoints, if you've been down to U.S. Marshal checkpoints down between San Diego and, say, San Clemente.
Yeah.
We will look in the vehicle. You will see us. If we see that it is a Caucasian, we're going to want to have to pull it over. It's tough. It's very tough.
Now, you're going to get a lot of people saying, profile, profile, profile. You're profiling me.
That is correct.
What do you say to people who are telling you this is profiling white people?
I answer, Phil, with what any law enforcement officer, I think, would answer. And that is, we are looking for a suspect profile. We are not trying to profile all whites. We are not trying to profile all blacks. But there is a suspect profile we've got as primarily the methamphetamine user. The methamphetamine user, yes, is traditional mountain trash or white trash, biker trash, what have you. The traditional methamphetamine user is also an individual who can be of any stripe, and primarily middle-class whites. That's why if we do see, for instance, a vehicle that may be driven by what we want to call mountain trash or any kind of lower class, or if we see motorcycle or a high-end vehicle of such a Mercedes, what you're looking at there are probably the dealer and you're probably looking at the primary supplier. We're looking for the people are using. And so that means that we're going to have to target individuals driving in vehicles which would be traditionally reserved for middle class. And
so this is completely going against type. You're looking for middle class whites. And
unfortunately, yes, that's right. And again,
all right, but you're telling me that you're not profiling.
No, sir, we are not profiling, and I really want to emphasize that, Phil. I got to tell you something right now. You're talking to a white man. And I'll tell you right now, it's not easy. I think in any walk of life, any police officer is going to tell you, it's a tough thing. If you're a white man, it's a tough thing to pull over another white man. But
Well, why is that?
Well, what I'm saying is he looks like you and acts like you. He doesn't look like he's a criminal.
Well, is it easier to pull over a black guy?
No, it's not, Phil. I don't want to get into it. Look, you back me into a corner here.
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. You talk to any police officer, it's tough for a white man to pull over another white man.
What I'm trying to say is it's tough to see traditional criminal profiles beginning to blur over into all demographics. It's tough. And
well, you said it's tough for a white man to pull over another white man.
It's tough, yes.
Yes, it's tough. Okay, Jay, we're going to get back to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on just how tough it is for the Citizens Auxiliary Police to pull over, boy, pulling over another white guy. That's rough, man. That's real, real rough. You know, because you're just not used to pulling over a brother white man, I guess. I don't know. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. And in the succeeding evenings, we're going to be showing you some of the great material that we've done down through the years. We want you to make sure that if you are not listening to us on a local affiliate, you make sure you start bugging some of these talk stations, because talk radio is in the tank, baby. And the only way to bring it out is with our show. And, of course, if you don't have a backstage pass, you got to get one of those at philhenryshow.com. 5,000 hours of material to start with and more. We'll be back right after this with more from Jay Sanis and the Citizens Auxiliary Police and all those white methamphetamine users. Hey, welcome back here to the next segment here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Hour 2, as we are listening to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about interdicting methamphetamine users. Unfortunately, they're mostly white guys, and that's kind of a rough one for Jay and the guys because, you know, they used to just be pulling over, they used to pull over minorities, and now it's other white guys. So as Jay is going to say, or if he hasn't already, sure, there's a hitch in his step.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police as they continue to keep us safe. As I say, they think they're keeping us safe from them. They're keeping us safe possibly from themselves.
I'm a white man. No, you know. And when I got to flag down a white man, or if I have to flag down a white man, a white woman, yeah, there's a little bit of a hitch in my step, a little bit of a kind of a downcast eye. Because traditionally, when you're looking for this kind of thing, you are looking for an offender, maybe a minority or person of color.
And if this is a white person who's what you call mountain trash, biker trash, white trash,
that's a little bit different. Those individuals, you expect them to be offenders because those are traditionally the people that supply and produce and use crank, methamphetamine, crystal, meth, crystal white, this kind of deal.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a flare drop this weekend, where they are going to be pulling over, or at least, you're not pulling people over.
It's a checkpoint, Phil.
All right, so cars will be slowed down at a flare drop checkpoint, and they will simply, a question, right?
Question is, are you carrying methamphetamine? We do a very quick checkpoint scan, which is to ask you to tilt your head back. We use a flashlight on a nostril area, see if there's any sprinkling or particle sprinkling. And if there's not, tip of the cap, you're on your way.
Frank, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Hey, Jay, what's up? I want to question your authority to be pulling over other citizens and shining flashlights in their mouths. I mean, is that legal?
Yeah, it is.
How is it? I mean, you're a citizen, right? You're not a police officer.
Constitution of the United States gives you a constitutional arrest power, citizen's arrest power.
Yeah, but that's not.
But if you had gone to school, then you would have known that, so.
Yeah, but you're going beyond your citizen's arrest powers by pulling another car over.
No, I'm not. I'm not even arresting. I'm simply slowing them down, looking in the car, doing a very quick scan of the nostril area, and they're on their way.
You can't pull over somebody and shine a flashlight on their nostrils.
How is this? Let me ask you a question, sir. You're not telling me how this is. I'm not putting you in jail. I'm not arresting you. I'm not doing
anything. You're harassing me. You're harassing me. You're grabbing me.
I'm not harassing you. Well, you could say every day you walk out your door and I look at your face, it's harassing me. You know, that's kind of ridiculous. Anything could be seen as harassment. You know, the minute you come out of your front door wearing a sports jacket that's, you know, I'm not really like, I'd say harassing me.
No, it isn't, because you're impeding this man's travel.
Well, no, that's not the case. I'm not impeding his travel. I'm simply, what kind of car do you drive, sir?
I have a red Grand Am, a Pontiac Grand Am.
Well, you must know, driving an automobile like that, I mean, we're going to be suspect.
It's a police officer, maybe, but not to you.
Your car is a suspect car, and I'll tell you why. A Pontiac Grand Am? Come on.
Well, no, be specific. What does that mean?
I think anybody in law enforcement will tell you a Pontiac Grand Am is driven by... Yeah, let me put it this way. A whole lot of guys with baseball caps out there got Pontiac Grand Ams.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying you are, but
no, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're talking about mountain trash. We're talking about resort trash.
Well, you're calling this guy resort trash.
No, I am not. I'm saying traditionally.
All right, look at Frank. Thanks for your call. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police on our show tonight to talk about methamphetamine and crank. A drug that, according to him and his agency, is primarily used by whites. And so, therefore, during a flare drop this weekend, they will be slowing down and double-checking cars occupied by white people for either possession of methamphetamine or use. And that includes asking the occupant to tilt their head back and doing what they call a checkpoint scan of the nostrils with a flashlight. Is that a violation of someone's constitutional rights if they're not being arrested? Methamphetamine, the scourge now, according to Mr. Santos, of middle-class whites. And the other thing he said I found interesting, it's tough for him. a white man to pull another white man over. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show.
We just want to take a peek over the shoulder of the police. That's all. Slow peek. Kind of a peekaboo.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. We're talking about methamphetamine use, crank, crystal, ice, crystal meth, however you want to call it, and the fact that it's manufactured primarily by sort of suburban or rural whites, and many times is imported into the city by whites to be used by African-American children. Is that correct?
That has been the profile, Phil, and certainly we're trying to protect the African-American people from this kind of predatory new kind of threat, which, again, like I said, it's, I got to tell you, I've been in law enforcement here with Citizens Auxiliary Police since 1997. Even though we are a volunteer police agency, we see ourselves as police officers and everything like that. And I got to tell you, you know, as a white man, boy, you just kind of see things sinking when you see another white man coming on in with all that. And you tell a white man to tilt his head back, and you're looking for residual particle powdering around nostril portions. Well, I got to tell you, it hits you hard. And
let me ask you, you see a woman in a van with children. She's white, isn't that right?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let's say she's a Caucasian woman in a van with children, suburban woman in a van with children. You pull her over?
Unfortunately, yes, we do, Phil. Yes, we do. Because as you may or may not know, children are sometimes the unwitting accomplices of a lot of these adults. And
do you do this checkpoint scan?
Yes, we do.
On the children?
Unfortunately, yes, we do.
So you're having a baby in a car seat tilt his head back to see if there's any crank on his nostrils? I mean, come on, man.
Well, you know, you may laugh, but let me tell you something right now. A lot of these, especially the mothers, you know, if they're working with this mountain trash, what they'll do is they'll take some of that crank, pack it up the kid's nose. That's the way they hide it from a police officer. You go ahead and pack it right up the kid's nostril portion, and the kid don't know. Next thing you know, you got a kid who's jumping around, tries to get the keys to your car and everything. It's sad. It's very sad.
You're telling me a mother would take that stuff and shove it up her own kid's nose?
Well, you don't even know if it's her own kid or not. That's what we want to do is, say I got a blonde-haired woman, and the kid and the baby in the car seat's got curly, say, brown hair or something. Oh, it's a red flag. Okay, is that a real kid? Is it a fake kid? Is there somebody else? Is it a prop kid or a stunt kid or whatever you want to call it?
Phil Henry with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on interdicting methamphetamine. WL, sir, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
I'm sitting here listening to this guy who was an auxiliary officer, and I just cannot believe this stuff. He actually is coming out of his mouth.
Are you in law enforcement, sir?
No, I'm not in law enforcement. But,
well, yeah, that's kind of hard.
But I have a lot of friends who are, and I did go to law school, so I do know some things.
Yes, sir.
But what I can't just blew me away when you were saying it hurts you basically to pull over white people. It hurt. I don't understand that.
Well, I think that's all I'm trying to say.
That goes
right. I don't mean anything by that, sir. I just
that goes straight to the heart of a lot of black people saying, hey, you know, we're tired of these white officers just pulling us over because we're black, driving while black. And a lot of people go, no, that doesn't happen.
Well,
but we sit here and hear you go, God, you know, I really, really thought it sounds like you enjoy pulling up a black person going, you know, we know you Negroes doing something wrong.
No, sir, I don't. That's not my thought process at all, sir, if you allow me to explain.
Well, that's what you said.
Well,
okay,
if you allow me to explain.
Go ahead.
It's just it's kind of, for instance, if you had a son or a daughter who got into trouble and you remembered them as being young people who were carefree and good kids, and it kind of got a little tear in your eyes. You go and bail them out of trouble, whatever it may be. Well, same deal. You know, I got another white man. You go, boy, I remember a time, you know, I'd give this guy as like a ticket for a busted taillight. Look at this.
Well, there you go. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as he continues here, talking to us about the methamphetamine scourge and the fact that in trying to stop that, he's having to pull over a lot of whites. Keep in mind that Jay and his guys they aren't even legal. They're just a bunch of volunteer clowns that put on a blue armband, a pith helmet, wingtip shoes, Bermuda shorts. I don't know what else they've got. They drive around in their wives' Suburbans on the weekend with these metal signs that are magnet signs on the side, and they pretend they're cops. and they have been reaping havoc throughout. These many, many years that we've been hearing from Jay and the guys. We're going to be back here with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We invite you to join us online at philhenryshow.com. At a backstage pass, all of this and more is yours. We'll be back with more from Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our reboot, our restart, our regeneration of one of the great radio shows in the history of the world. The iconic Phil Henry Radio Show, as I think I heard a suit describe it in one of the radio trades recently. Anyway, we've got for you Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we are showing you, and we will be for the next few days, some of the great bits that we've done over the years for you and yours. Jay and his guys are trying to stop methamphetamine. They're trying to pull over cars that may have methamphetamine users in them. And, of course, in Jay's mind, that means mostly white people. And that's kind of a painful thing for him to have to pull over whites, because, after all, it used to be just nothing but Mexicans and black guys. So, in any event, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know. So, by the way, this show can be available to you as a podcast tomorrow morning with a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. Also, our classic daily podcasts are available there. Also, 5,000 hours of archived audio is available there. Also, webisodes available there. Also, TV pilots, radio interviews, TV interviews, our news feed, our comment section, and more at philhenryshow.com. More from Jay Santos now.
So that's all I've...
Well, that's going exactly what this man's saying.
But you don't think black people were once young and carefree and innocent?
Look, a lot of this mountain trash is bringing this methamphetamine into town to be used by African-American kids. We're trying to stop
Can I ask you, what town is this also?
Well, any city. We're talking about major metropolitan areas.
I can tell you from this area, black kids don't mess with meth like white kids do.
That's exactly right.
If you're talking about some weed, okay. You're talking about meth. Black kids don't do that.
Exactly, but the mountain trash is trying to get the black kid to do it because they're all out of the market among the whites is saturated. So now they got to spread out.
But why don't you concentrate a little more on not looking at color and just try to stamp out the crowd? Because I can tell you, I am a black man who.
Well, then what are you worried about?
When I get pulled over by white guys for no reason, then we have it right there.
You're barking up the wrong tree. You know, that's a dog that won't hunt. I'm not pulling you over. If I see you, I just go on. I'm just waving you through. But if I see
you're not pulling me over today. But the same guys who think like you and sit around and hear you talk, don't be the same guys that go, you know what, that's that guy driving that white BMW, let's pull him over and see what's going on.
Well, I don't know. All I'm talking about is methamphetamine. I'm primarily targeting the mountain trash and what have you. And
by the way, when you say mountain trash, you talking about white folks?
Well, yeah, that's, suburban, why your resort trash, your mall trash, yeah.
I'm sorry, I hate to interject again. You really sound very ignorant. It's almost like a joke.
Sir,
that you have the authority to ask me to hold my head back and let you look up. I don't have to give you the right to hold
I'm not
my
asking
head
you
back.
To, sir. You're black. I'm not going to ask you.
White or black, you don't have the power to say hold your head back.
All I'm saying is tilt your head back for a second. Let me see if there's any residual.
You know what I can tell you? No.
Powder up your nostril.
All right. WL, thank you for your call, sir. We'll be back with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, targeting white motorists for methamphetamine.
Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, drug addict.
I'm with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They're doing flare drops this week, and you are interdicting you're checking for methamphetamine, correct, Jay?
That's correct, Phil. Methamphetamine is a drug that is, hold on.
Methamphetamine is a drug that is primarily used now by whites, and it is being dealt by whites. What we're trying to do is do what we call a checkpoint scan on a flare drop, and all these whites will come in and try to push this stuff on black kids, and black kids, you know, are getting cleaned up.
You know, we've had some callers in. A lot of the stuff you're saying sounds like profiling, even if it is just whites.
It is not, Phil. What we're doing, it's a suspect profile. Ask anybody in law enforcement, and they'll tell you a suspect profile. And
tell me how this, and then I want to get to another phone call. When you stop a car, can you hear me, Jay?
I can hear you fine, Phil.
When you stop a car and you are asking them to tilt their head back.
Let me tell you how we do it. We basically will say, we want to do a checkpoint scan. We will take the individual by the back of the head if they have hair or, you know, something to get a grip on, and we'll pull the head back, and then the other subcommander will use a flashlight. We wave it across the nostril area 3 times, and what that does is, one of the reasons why they call it crystal is it does have almost a shimmering or crystal-like effect. So when you wave the flashlight back and forth, it kind of sparkles, and you can see it sparkling right there under the nose. And just a second.
She's clear. I checked her.
Because we're doing a checkpoint right now, so...
So are you grabbing them by the hair and pulling the head back?
We're not grabbing by the hair, but we're getting a handful of hair. Yeah, we're just tilting the head back slightly.
Ken, go ahead. Ken?
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, we're living in a pretty difficult society in this day and age, and I think it's really ridiculous that people are fussing about being checked for something like this. If you're not doing something wrong, then what are you worried about?
That's our point exactly.
We've got to enforce the laws to try to protect our children.
Exactly, sir.
And that's my only comment. If you're not doing something wrong, what are y'all upset about?
Exactly, sir. And so, sir, where do you live, by the way?
On the Texas-Mexican border, where we have a lot of drugs in our area.
All right, so you don't mind having someone grab you by the back of the head and pull you back and check your nose?
Well, I don't know as I like the idea of them grabbing me by the back of my head, but I wouldn't mind tilting my head back and letting them see all they want to look at.
Well, what we have to do is grab a handful of your hair, though, and pull your head back.
Why? Why is that?
Because what we need is for the muscles to relax in the neck area.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, yes, sir, we do.
See, to me, that sounds wrong.
What?
Grabbing a handful of hair and pulling a guy's head back?
Well, that's what I do. If this guy said it, you know, if you got nothing wrong with you, what's wrong with that?
Plus, you're pulling babies' heads back, kids' heads back.
That's right. But you agree, right, Ken?
Well, I don't know if I agree exactly with the way with your methodology, but I think that there's nothing wrong with checking, because we're living in a very difficult age.
We are, absolutely.
Somebody's got to police, to some extent at least, to try to protect our society a little bit.
We had a woman that we pulled over last week. You'd be interested, Phil, and the gentleman on the phone. She was an elderly woman. And for all the world, she looked like someone's grandmother. When we finally got the clothes off of this woman, we found 2 kits, an 8-ball.
What do you mean when you got the clothes off of her?
Well, we had to strip her down because we knew. Here's an individual. She looks like grandma, you know, like grandma. Yeah, right. When we got her down to her underwear. So I think this gentleman knows what I'm talking about.
What do you mean you get her down to her underwear? Did you find drugs?
We had reason to believe she had drugs on her. Yes, sir. Right, Ken?
Well,
it's very close for.
I don't know. That's getting a little difficult, but I still think that... Maybe I wouldn't agree with all the ways and procedures you're using, but I think that the basic premise of what you're doing is good because...
Thank you.
We've got to put a lid on it.
Well, I had a rubber glove. I had one of those kitchen-made rubber gloves, and I had stuck a hand down there. I'll tell you what we came up with.
Oh, my God, man. I mean, you don't even have the arrest power that the regular police have. You're sticking a rubber glove on? You mean one of those latex gloves that the doctors use?
No, it's one of those deals you get in the supermarket. Just a regular rubber glove. And I can tell you right now, no, you're right. She did not have drugs on her. But why was she struggling? See, that's a question mark to me. Right, Ken?
Just a 4 to 4, too.
I don't know about that.
Well, you started out agreeing with me, and I don't understand
no,
this phone
I,
call.
I,
you know,
I,
you, you, know, you
I,
sound like the kind of guy who gets a little gun-shy, or you know, kind of nervous. Kind
no,
of feet,
no,
you know?
No. I'm just wondering if you're going maybe a little bit too far
with
some of this checking business.
Well, you started out saying that you agreed with me, and now you're getting kind of wet feet on me.
No, no. I agree with your checking people to see if they have drugs, but
hey.
I don't know about stripping down an old lady. Take her to the police station, have them do it.
What if she's got drugs
something
on
like that?
What if she's got drugs? Well, the cops don't care. They're too busy out, you know, getting a donut and all that deal. Now, I'll tell you.
Wait a minute, man. Taking an old lady and sticking a kitchen-made rubber glove on.
Coach, you got a rubber glove on it.
I want it.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil. I wanted to thank the gentleman for supporting us in the work that we do. And, I just very appreciate it, Ken. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Well, okay, so there's Ken. At least Jay's got one guy on his side. We'll be back to wrap up this hour with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Next hour, we will be talking with Mitch Eckner, who is a talk show host, very concerned with the direction of radio, talk radio, and the fact that a lot of talk radio is going away, folks. A lot of the more conservative voices are going away. A lot of the political talk is going away. We're going to be talking with Mitch next hour and others. People who are frequent guests, as a matter of fact, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show are going to be joining us next hour. Our final segment with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up here on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back. It is Phil Henry. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and not just the world-famous Phil Henry Show, but the world-famous Phil Henry Show back and back at it, and very happy to be back at it with you guys here. We have Jay Santos for one more segment. The next hour, we have just kind of a wrap-up and a prelude as to what you can expect in the forthcoming days and weeks on the Phil Henry Show. Here's Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police as they talk about the methamphetamine scourge, how difficult it is to pull over white people, grabbing someone's head and pulling it back to make sure there isn't any residual, quote, powdering. In fact, they even did it to babies sitting in child seats. Let's listen.
See, that guy does not agree with your method.
Yes, he does, Phil. I think you very clearly heard him say.
No, he doesn't. Not when he heard you say that you're sticking a kitchen-made rubber glove on and going into an old lady's underwear with it. No, he did not. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, my name is John. I used
yes,
to
sir.
Be a police officer. And I don't think this is correct. Are you doing, I mean, you have no police authority to do anything.
Well, sir, I can tell you that I'm an auxiliary police officer, citizen volunteer. Police are overworked. And let's face it, sir. I mean, I hate to, I don't want to say this about the police because they're hardworking guys. Let's face it, as far as interdicting drug traffic, as far as making our streets safe from drugs, cops about as been about as effective as a fart in a whirlwind.
There is, MTF, I mean, they take care of things like that. You're nobody. You have
who takes care of what? Now, they're not taking care of anything. We're trying to keep these white the mountain trash from bringing their crystal meth in.
Okay, if you cross me, and I'm a white male, I am a white male. I do a lot of traveling, and I come up to you on your little flare side road stops. And you're going to stop me? And
well, wait a minute. Wait. First of all, if I flare you down, it's what we call flare down.
Okay.
All right.
Why should I stop you?
I beg your pardon?
Why should I stop you?
All I want you to do is let me grab the back of your head, pull it back so we can get a quick scan on your nostrils.
And if I don't let you?
We got a situation.
You, well, what is, I have a situation.
Yeah, what does that mean, he has a situation?
Well, obviously the gentleman's resisting.
Okay. But you are nobody for me to resist to.
Okay. Well, sir, first of all, let me ask you this. you're a white man. So as I approach the vehicle and I see that you're a white man, there's going to be a little bit of sadness, and I'm going to approach you with probably a little bit more gentleness.
Why is that sad? Okay,
what is that about?
What's the Hispanic? I mean, does it have to be a white man? There's a lot of, you know... With methamphetamine, there's all kinds of races that...
Yeah, but you know, as a former police officer, that the primary dealer of the methamphetamine crystal meth is your trailer, you know, the white trailer.
Okay, I come from Southern California. Has a lot of Hispanics that are on methamphetamine.
I don't know of any Mexican that's on that as of today.
Okay, well...
But I do know a ton of your... a lot of these guys... Girlfriend.
Have you ever dealt with any drug addicts before in your life?
Have I ever done what?
Have you ever dealt with any drug addicts, like as far as citizen policing, I guess, as you say?
I'm telling you right now, a lot of the mountain trash. And
when you're talking about mountain trash, you mean white folks.
That's correct.
All right, look, John, thank you for your call, sir.
Why'd you hang up on? You used to be a police officer.
He used to be a police officer, huh? Well, I have to go to a commercial break.
All right. Well, I'm just going to be here interdicting people.
Yeah, you do that.
Well, I've got a white man in car 2, and I need a rubber glove over here and a roll over in car 6.
Now, Phil, like...
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on methamphetamine, interdicting it, stopping cars with flares, and looking up the nostril. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. Survivor Compton.
Final few minutes with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Not a legal police agency, Mr. Santos. I mean, not an official police agency. You're stopping cars, looking for methamphetamine, cars that are primarily driven by white people, and you're doing it by dropping flares in the middle of a public highway. And there's a lot of people who question the legality of this.
Right, let me tell you something about what I do and why it's a little difficult for me not to lose my temper with somebody like you.
No, wait a minute. You got to answer my questions, not give a speech. You are...
Mr. Henry, we've got a methamphetamine problem on account of these people who disgrace other whites. Now, this is your trailer trash, mountain trash. You got these people, I'll tell you what, some of this mountain trash, the prettiest little mountain trash you ever did see, driving down in a Windstar van, and I'm trying to save lives. So you can give me all your gobbledygook about legalities, but I'll tell you right now, if it'll keep the cranked methamphetamine, crystal methamphetamine, from infiltrating the outer portions... I'll get a handful of your hair, pull your head back 6 ways to sunset. And I'll take a good long look up your nostril. I'll tell you something right now. I'll count every hair in your nose. And that's what it takes.
And if it's not legal?
What's not legal about it? I'm trying to keep drugs. Since when is it not legal to try to keep drugs away?
It's the way you do it, man. The police have had this problem since time began. It's not so much whether the perpetrator is caught. Was he caught in a legal manner? And
well, that's a lot of gobbledygook.
It's car 7.
That's, to me, is a lot of gobbledygook. You got a lot of gobbledygook.
Yeah, okay. Here is Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Ron. Hello? Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron. You're on the air.
Yeah, I live in the state of Oregon. I'm going to give you a little background of what I do. I'm a repossession recovery agent for automobiles, okay? So I deal hand-in-hand with police officers on a nightly basis, okay? When there's a situation where you think there's illegal activity, whether it's drug use, auto theft, somebody breaking into a house, burglary, anything like that, harassment whatsoever, you do not have the authority to interrupt that crime, okay? When you're talking about a citizen, underlying citizen, okay, when you say citizen, that's exactly what you are. You are not law enforcement. You are not any form of law agency whatsoever. You are strictly a citizen. If I was that citizen and I walked up to you and I said, sir, you are a suspect of drug activity, and I put my hand on you, you would have the legal right to
Well, sir, the thing you're not understanding is I'm fully uniform. I'm fully uniform. I wear a blue armband. So we're fully... I have a blue armband.
I'm having a hard time hearing him.
I said...
I'm saying.
I wear a blue armband with a white pith helmet. So we're fully recognized and recognizable. Okay?
I... Okay, I didn't hear what you said because you got too much background noise.
He said that he wears a pith helmet and a blue armband so that they're fully identified.
That's correct. I can go to the local 7-Eleven and buy myself a little handband. It doesn't matter. That doesn't give you a legal right unless you have a DPPST badge number.
Well, what does that stand for?
Sir, unless you have one, you do not have the legal authority to do anything to anybody. Period.
Okay, so in other words, if methamphetamine comes into my neighborhood, I can go find Ron and say, thanks, Ron. Thanks very much. Okay.
No.
I just wanted to know.
Okay.
I'm a champ, guys.
As I was explaining, if you put your hand on me flat out.
Okay. That's fine, Ron.
When
methamphetamine.
You put your hand on me.
Yeah.
I have the legal right to oppress, not assault charges, because there's no markings, no bruises, no blood, no anything like that. But it's called a level 3 harassment.
All I'm doing is looking up your nostril. Jesus.
Oh, you said you grab a handful of hair
and pull my head back.
And that is correct. That means you are putting force upon my body that is not necessary.
Well, don't you think it's a little game?
Also.
All right, let's wrap it up, boys. Ron says this isn't legal.
In the state of Oregon, if you did that to me, I would have the legal right to brandish a weapon to you. That is called self-defense on my part. And I'll tell you straight up, if you did that, I guarantee you, I'm pulling into my glove box.
What are you pulling out of there, gloves?
Ha, ha, ha.
Go into your glove box. You go into your glove box, Ron, the thing you'll be pulling out of there is a box of tissue. I'm Jay Santos.
And if you want to know what I drive a 97 four-door long bed dually Chevrolet truck.
Well, you know that says methamphetamine right there. Why would you tempt me? In other words, why would you drive around a car that says hi? I snort it straight off of a kitchen knife.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
why would you do that?
Newly authorized organization swings
you're
into action. It may be called the
state,
you're
the joke.
State troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
All right, there is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and that wraps up that little visit with Jay and the guys. Next hour, we'll be talking with Mitch Eckner, a talk show host very concerned as to the future of talk radio. And if ever there was a future for talk radio, you're listening to it, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We'll see you guys next hour. Stick around. Welcome, everybody, back to the third hour here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here with you every night with brand new radio. Our reboot continues. Hope you enjoyed the first couple of hours. Very bizarre there with Brad Rifkin and Jay Santos. I say very bizarre. Of course it's bizarre, because that's what this show is. It ain't nothing that I can't. But why even go on?
You gotta go on. You must go on.
Bud likes that whole line from, is it Alien, Bud?
Yeah, we have to go on. They got to go on. That's not what he says, man.
What does he say?
He says, we have to go on, we must go on.
Yeah, that's John Hurt. Who cares, okay? In any event, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, this hour, we have Mitch Eckner, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Rich Dubney and the travails of Rich Dubney and what he's been going through, these many months. Rich Dubney, a conservative talk show host. I don't know any of these principles. I do know a lot of the more traditional people when we talk about talk radio, but I do not know Mr. Dubney. Let me get on the line here now. Mitch Eckner. Mitch, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me on the program. And again, the name of our show is the Mitch Eckner Kitchen Party. And the reason why I bring that up...
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
It's perfectly fine, Phil. The reason why I bring that up is this morning we dedicated our kitchen party to Rich Dubney and a lot of the things that we're going through here in talk radio. And they're very difficult times. There's no question about it.
Talk radio in general is what? It's on life support, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's on life support so much as we need to have the audience, after giving so much to the audience, after directing the audience and telling the and informing our audience really is what's been going on and the dangers that we face as a country. We want our audience to take a little bit of responsibility and begin to act on behalf of this country. The love affair with Barack Obama doesn't seem to be abating. I blame the audience. I blame also the talk show hosts themselves.
All right. Now, you had said to me before the show, when we were just talking, that Sean Hannity is a big problem. Why?
Well, Sean Hannity is a problem because here's a guy who has, I think, gotten in on the glory of Rush Limbaugh. And Sean Hannity, we talked about it this morning on Mitch Eckner's Kitchen Party, and we said that Sean Hannity, I am second to no one in my admiration for Sean Hannity's conservative credentials, but I do not believe that he's done the conservative movement well when he has rode the glory, he's been on the glory road, being a superstar instead of helping this country. Barack Obama, Phil, understand, has done nothing more than make an individual like myself hate this country. And I never thought...
Hate this country?
I never thought... That is exactly correct. I never thought I'd ever say, I love America. I love America, but I hate it as it is today. Barack Obama did that, and Sean Hannity hasn't done much to make things better.
Why do you focus on Sean Hannity?
Well, Phil, this morning on the Mitch Eckner Kitchen Party, we talked about it with a variety of guests and listeners, and we came to the conclusion, because I asked my audience, why do I hate Sean Hannity? You tell me. And they know, and we've talked about it. It's because he's ridden the glory road behind Rush Limbaugh, and has not gotten in and done the spade work necessary, the ditch digging, the road building, the tree felling, and the fence building that we need in this country to take back the country. Because when a Mitch Eckner looks at Sean Hannity and says, I hate this country because of Obama, what have you done? And I don't even hear from him because he doesn't return any phone calls to me. I think that's a very serious oversight.
We're talking to Mitch Eckner, who's at a talkers convention right now in Malibu, is it?
Yes.
And you have talked to some of the hosts there. Who have you been talking to?
Well, I just talked to Danny Rich and Bill Kiesley. We were all saying the same thing. How's Rick Dubney? How's Rick Dubney? Everyone's asked me, how's Rick? I said, well, Rick is not doing well.
Tell us about Rick Dubney. Not a lot of us are familiar with him.
And there's a good example, Bill. A lot of people are not familiar with Rick Dubney, and the reason is that Sean Hannity has the position that Rick Dubney should have, which is the heir apparent to Rush Limbaugh and the conservative talk movement. See, conservative radio has cannibalized and has eaten its young. All revolutions, as Voltaire told us, eat their young, and the revolution of conservatism and conservative radio ate its young, and Rick Dubney is one of them.
Is he ill? That's what I heard.
Yeah, he said, I talked to you, this is Robert.
Yes, Robert.
You said Rick Dubney's ill?
Yes, Rick is terminal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Rick has a terminal illness brought on, I think, in large measure by the conservative radio audience and conservative radio hosts like Sean Hannity, who've done nothing but ride the glory road.
When you talk about the conservative radio, if you don't mind me interjecting here.
Well, we're talking about Rick Dubney, who's on a deathbed right now.
I understand that. And my heart goes out to him and his family. But when you're talking about the blame for this, you're saying the conservative radio audience. I heard what you said about Sean Hannity and the hosts. What does the audience have to do with it?
Well, the audience, Phil, is how you doing? I saw another of our friends, Phil, Lorian Daly. Do you know her?
I do not.
Well, the talk radio audience has not responded to the conservative message. And the talk radio audience has enjoyed themselves listening and basking in the glory of the Rush Limbaughs of the world and the Laura Ingraham and Michael Savage and all of these people and Sean Hannity and all of these people. But what have they done with it? They've done nothing with it. Barack Obama got elected, and in the process, I grew to hate the very country that I've loved.
So what we...
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
All right.
You asked me about Rick Dubney. I'm going to tell you, Rick Dubney is laying on a hospital bed right now in his own home, and Rick Dubney is most likely not going to live to see the end of this summer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the reason for that is the talk radio audience and the talk radio hosts that have, in my opinion, contributed to the death of Rick Dubney because they have enjoyed listening to the conservatives and enjoyed saying, I've got my Rush Limbaugh mug and I've got my Sean Hannity and I got a steak from Sean Hannity, but beyond that, I'm not going to do it.
No. All right, we're talking to Mitch Ekner, host of Mitch Ekner's House Party.
No, it's not. It's Mitch Ekner's Kitchen Party.
I'm sorry, Mitch Ekner's Kitchen Party. And I'm sorry, Mitch, what time are you on?
Well, all right. We're on from 9 to noon on the East Coast, noon to 3 on the West Coast. Reverse that.
9 to noon on the West Coast.
Hold on, I'll tell you. It's 9 to noon on the West Coast, yeah, and noon to 3 on the East Coast is the Mitch Ekner House Party. Our kitchen party, I should say. And we are right now doing something that I never thought I would do, and that is it is a death watch for America and Rick Dubney.
Now, why do I want to tune into something like that?
What do you mean, why do you want to tune
into? I'm asking, that is the most depressing thing, a death watch for America and a death watch for Rick Dubney, who you say has a terminal illness.
No, yes, see, and he does, Phil. That's not me just saying it. To get you to feel sorry for him, he does have a terminal illness.
What does he have?
I don't feel that it's my place to tell you, but he is going to be dead. And I hate all of this. I lay at the feet of Sean Hannity. And
why is, you know, this is the more a curious aspect of what it is you're telling me. Why is Sean Hannity so key to all of this?
Well,
I mean, you're talking about Sean Hannity, and look, if you can hang on, I'd appreciate it, Mitch, okay? Mitch?
Oh, hang on, but I've got some things that...
Mitch Ekner with us from Mitch Ekner's Kitchen Party is the name of the show. We're going to be right back with Mitch and talk more with him about Rick Dubney and apparently this terminal illness that he has, and talk more with him about talk radio and the terminal illness that it has. And I guess America's got a terminal illness, too, as he is talking about the death watch. It's all just, I guess, dying, you know.
That's pretty the message there.
What's that?
That's the message.
Yes, it is the message. This is the Phil Hendry Show here on our reboot, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back. Back here, the Phil Hendry Show, our final hour, and we have with us Mitch Ekner from the Talkers Convention out in Malibu right now. We're going to be talking with Mitch. We also have David G. Hall who's going to join us. We're discussing talk radio, what's happened to it, what hasn't happened to it, what it needs. Apparently, there's a death watch going on. Now, look, Mitch, I know that talk radio in general, in terms of the political message, it's a little boring more than anything else. Don't you think?
No, I don't. I think that if you had hosts, Phil, that were dedicated to, you say boring. How do you say on, let me ask you this, on the Mitch Ekner kitchen party every day, we have a lot of fun and we talk about Obama and I guess what you're saying.
See that right there, that's what makes it boring. It is a nonstop Obama bash. It's a nonstop, never-ending Obama did this, Obama did that, Obama did something else. And it's finally caught up, I think, to the format. It's catching up to these radio stations. It's catching up to these hosts. Now, you're blaming Sean Hannity. I don't know why he is singled out. I will give you that Rush Limbaugh is a professional and is great and is the originator. But aren't there others that are more culpable?
I'm sorry?
Others that are more responsible.
Well, everybody, I think, got dirty. Everyone's got his hands a little bit dirty in this process. But I can tell you, I've done my part. We do a lot. When you talk about entertainment, Obama has made me hate America. Let me tell you, I didn't want to have to do it, which was the keynote promotion last year of the radio show. We said I didn't want to have to hate America, but Obama. We got a lot of mail. A lot of people got involved.
What were they getting involved in?
Well, they were getting involved in the message. Look what he did. He made me hate America. And then what we did was we had a 4th of July party where we had a coffin. Not a coffin, excuse me. We had a 4th of July party where we had an effigy, I guess, of me, of Mitch Ekner, looking sad, and we laid it in a coffin and laid it in the ground and said, there goes a sad bitch. He hates the country.
You see, what you're describing to me is incomprehensible. It sounds really depressing. It doesn't sound funny, you know.
Well, what are you all of a sudden? Are you the end-all be? Are you Mr. Talk Radio Critic? I don't understand.
No. What I'm saying is, don't make it about me. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, you're making it about me.
I'm making it about you because you told me about a promotion where you hate America and the big thing you did last 4th of July.
Yeah, we had an effigy of me looking sad. We put it in a coffin. We buried it. You don't understand the feelings in this country are riding very high against Obama.
Look, the feeling in the country may be riding high against Obama. There's on any given day, there's somebody that doesn't like the country. There's some group of Americans that don't like the country. You know, I mean, I let's just go to a phone call.
I think, hi, Mitch, this is Margaret Gray. I think we need to go to a phone call because this, I agree with Phil. It just...
You agree with Phil? Of all the people that I felt was fair-minded, Margaret...
Yes, but I agree that you being laid in a coffin is not very interesting.
It's not me getting laid in a coffin. It's the effigy of me. You understand?
The effigy.
The what?
The effigy.
The effigy, yes, of me being laid in. There's no reason to raise your voice.
Let's go to a phone call on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking here with Mitch Ekner from Mitch Ekner's... Forgive me, Mitch. It's the...
It's called a kitchen party because we get together in the kitchen and people enjoy getting together in the kitchen. But that's what we call it.
All right. Take some phone calls here from Mitch Ekner. Really what we're talking about is the death of talk radio, the audience deserting talk radio. Let's go over here to Charlie. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Charlie, go ahead.
Right. Mitch, this is Charlie. How you doing?
Oh, doing very good. How are you, Charlie?
I'm great, but I have listened to your program, and I find your program to be a rather insulting to the intelligence. When you say that you...
Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, I called your program, and I told you to your face the very thing I'm saying right now.
Yeah, I remember your call, and I remember that I debated you, and I hung up on you, and I'd won the debate.
Anybody can hang up on anybody else and win the debate, you know.
That's true, but I said to you...
Hold on, this is my dime. I'd like to say what I want to say.
No, but I said to you... Hold on.
Let the gentleman talk.
All right.
I said that you saying you hate America was a ridiculous statement to make to blame on a president.
And I said to you, why couldn't I hate America if the president's the symbol of the country?
Right, and I said the president's the symbol of the country, but he's not the cause necessarily of problems. And
then you hung up because you got frustrated.
I hung up because you sounded then, as you sound right now, like an ass. You sounded then, as you sound now, like an ass.
And as I said to you, as we say on the kitchen party, sticks and stones.
Yeah, right. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt you. But I'm not trying to hurt. I'm just telling you. I'm describing you sounding like an unmitigated ass on your program.
Well, okay. And your point is what?
Well, so what's the point?
My point is, if this guy gets out of bed, if he gets out of bed every day and he says he hates America because of Obama, then he's, you know, that's about the stupidest thing I ever heard a guy say. I've ever heard on a radio program or anywhere else. And I think it's his way of trying to get more people to listen to his garbage can show. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, are you there?
He hung up.
All right, well, you know, garbage can show. Let me tell you a little bit about a guy who I believe very much in, Rick Dubday. Rick Dubday is laying in a bed in a home where his wife and his children are. And Rick Dubney...
Are you okay?
Yes, I am, but I'm very emotional right now. After being called an ass for the second time today by that caller who called my program and was compelled enough to call me back here. Rick Dubney is dying... Rick Dubney is dying.
Rick Dubney's dying of what? And who is Rick Dubney?
Rick, oh.
Well, we don't know Rick Dubney, and you have to give us some idea, Mitch.
Rick Dubney is the talk radio host that should have had the job that Sean Hannity has. Rick Dubney is dying from cirrhosis of the liver, brought on by alcoholism. Oh, I can't catch my breath.
Do you need to...
What, do I need to lay down?
Well, do you... It sounds to me like you need to lay down, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I do. Rick Dubney... Rick Dubney will never be the same. Rick Dubney... I can't... I appreciate very much, Phil, you having me on your program, but I can't go on. Because as long as Rick Dubney lay dying... And yes, he did it to himself. He drank himself into the stupor that he's in.
Rick Dubney is drank himself to death.
You have allowed that man to say one...
Bud, be quiet. He doesn't like you, and you know that.
Rick Dubney was my friend. You know what?
All right. That's fine with me, because he wasn't making any sense.
Well, I know he wasn't making it. I told you he wouldn't make any sense.
I know that, but I have him on from this convention. David G. Hall is going to join us later. But the point is that at this talkers convention, they had some panel on whether or not conservative radio is going to survive. Now, there's a guy right there, Mitch Ekner, who's a classic example of why that format is dying. He's got stupid promotions like I Hate This Country and Let's Bury Me on the 4th of July. He has he says that Rick and he also says that Obama's the guy that caused him to hate the country. He's got Rick Dubney, who I've never heard of, but he claims is the heir apparent of Sean Hannity. You know something about this, Robert?
Yeah, he told me I had him on the phone. I said, Rick Dubney. I said, tell me about it. He said, Rick Dubney is everything that you'd ever want.
What do you mean, everything I'd ever want?
He said that Rick Dubney is everything you'd want a conservative host.
Well, the biggest thing I want out of a conservative host is for him to quit his job.
All right, okay, fine. All right, fine. So, Rick Dubney, what about him?
Well,
Hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll find out more about Rick Dubney. We'll find out more about the future of conservative radio. David G. Hall is going to join us here and talk about this as well. Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show, our reboot here on this wonderfully August evening. It's an August evening. It's not just an August evening.
What do you mean?
What I mean is August means something that is noteworthy, and it is also the month of August.
Well, that language is being wasted, I think, on them. But the point is...
What, the language is being wasted on who? On Bud and Robert?
Yes.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. I think these guys, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, I mean, I sort of do, and then again, I don't.
In any event...
The point, I think, that needs to be made, and that is an important point to make, is that Mitch Ekner is a... He's a non-story. He's not anyone that anyone... Mitch Ekner is... He's done.
Well, he doesn't sound to be as done, Margaret, as this Rick Dubney, whoever he is. And that's an interesting story. I think finding out who Rick Dubney is probably going to be worth the price of admission. To that extent, David G. Hall is on the floor as well of the Talkers Convention in Malibu. We're going to talk to David G. Hall, who's out there. We're also going to have Herb Sewell on the line, who I believe is at his home, to talk about the future of talk radio from the standpoint of a guy...
Yeah, a guy that molests children.
All right, just don't bring that up, okay?
Oh, my. Did you hear your voice? You went, don't bring that up. Did you hear that?
Yes, my voice cracked. David, are you there?
I'm here, and I did hear what Margaret just referenced. She said, and I heard you go, dang, like that. And I'm not going to make a big thing out of it, Phil, because I don't think it needs to be. I don't think a big thing needs to be made out of that. But I think it was amusing to hear you go, ooh, you know?
I didn't go, ooh. I said, don't, like that. My voice cracked. I mean, what can I tell you? I mean, I haven't been on the air in a long time. Hello.
Well, that's a good point. I think you've got Herb Sewell on the other line. I know that Herb was a child molester at one time and is now on your show as some kind of... Herb Sewell, are you there?
I'm right here, David G. Hall.
All right. Now, the reason why we have Herb on is to comment on media. He does a lot of research on media. That's his new job, doing this online research for a variety of college professors and higher institutions of higher learning. Herb, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate the comments made by your guest, Mr. Ekner, who sounds exactly as I pictured him, a man who seems to be very confused.
Look, before we get any further, I don't want any mention of what you did, Herb, to get you into a Tascadero, if you don't mind.
Well, all right, then why are you bringing it up?
Because I want to make sure no one mentions it.
I can assure you I'm not going to mention it. The point that I'd like to make is that when I was in a Tascadero, and I was around quite a number of these individuals that you are discussing this evening, these conservative hosts, I'm not saying that any of them were in the inside... for the reasons that I was, but I am saying that a great many of them, a great many of the hosts that I've heard, belong in a Tascadero because I was sitting next to people that were healthier mentally than a great many of these people I hear on the radio. You know, Phil, I would expect him to say something like that.
Why?
I think because the guy is... I just think the guy is a liberal, and I think that's what you're going to hear. No, I'm not saying that as a liberal. I'm talking about just the mental capacity of the individuals that you're talking about.
All right, when you say the mental capacity of the individuals that I'm talking about, are you talking about their ability to think clearly?
I'm talking about their ability to articulate a point and to bring the listener confidence in it. And I think if you want to talk about what's wrong with the conservative radio format, the hosts are all individuals that I could easily see sitting next to me in the day room or sitting next to me on a bench outside listening to a Walter Belhaven lecture on botany or sitting next to me in the day room watching a ping pong game going on. These people...
are mentally ill.
I think so, yes. I don't know where you get that, but I get it because I'm hearing... The guy, did you hear that guy, Echner?
Now, Mitch, you know Mitch Echner, right, David?
I have known Mitch Echner for many, many years. I helped him put his first kitchen party show on the air when he was a local host in, I think it was in Denver, or it was in one of those kinds of cities.
What do you mean, one of those kinds of cities?
Well, it was a city that was in an area that was friendly to his kind of radio. You know, it was in the mountains where a lot of these mountain people are. In other words, it was a very arch-conservative, almost Aryan nation kind of a program. I didn't say that. I did not say that.
All right, well, so he was on in Denver.
He was on in Denver or Boise or something like that. Oh, Boise, great. Well, you're asking me questions here that I'm trying to give you answers to.
All right, and so what?
So I knew Mitch Echner when he was on in Boise. What do you want from me? A moment ago, it was Denver. Well, now I'm saying it's Boise. How does that feel? But Boise is a damn sight smaller than Denver, and I think that at the end of the day, if you're talking about a radio market that's going to leave a positive impression on someone, I think you'd much rather say Denver.
All right, so what difference does it make, okay?
Well, there you go again. What difference does it make?
I'd like to jump in here, if I might.
Go ahead, Margaret.
First of all, neither one of you guys has said anything of any substance in the time that you've been on the air.
Now, can I say something?
Hold on.
Secondly, I think Herb made the point that the conservative hosts, of any of the comments that was made of substance, I'd say that Herb's comment about the conservative hosts needing to be in a mental institution is the most direct, I would say is the most substantial.
Yeah, and it's mental.
All right, well, what have you got to say, David?
What have I got to say? Yeah, I'd love to hear this. I've got to say the following thing. You know, I've been sitting here, Phil, for the last half hour.
Hold on for a minute. I got more people getting distracted on this show and then giving up. Mitch Echner did the same thing. He went, oh, well, I give up. You're getting distracted. Why?
Because I've been sitting here on this convention floor for 40 minutes sweating, excuse my language, sweating my balls off. You're going to have to dump that.
Could you watch your language, please?
You're talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Oh.
David, that is a completely unacceptable word.
All right, I think it's very unfair, very unfair. I've been sitting here for 40 minutes sweating in this asylum. If you want to talk about an asylum, this convention with talk show hosts, you might as well be in a mental ward because you sit here and guys go by talking to themselves, talking to you, talking, and the breath... I'm going to go right out on a limb right now, and I'm going to say, from the Talkers Convention here in Los Angeles, would someone send over some breath mints? Because the breath on these people is unbelievable. It is unconscionable what I've got to sit and suffer through as I sit and talk to these people.
Okay, do you have anything of substance to say?
That is exactly my point, Phil.
Oh, man. Are you going to hang up? No, I'm not going to hang up, but that is very unfair.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say?
I want to say that I'm very proud to be in this business, that I support Sean Hannity. I support all of the great hosts, whether they're conservative or liberal. I don't think talk radio is on its way out. I think it's doing a great service. I think shows like yours, Phil, that continues to mock the talk radio format, does more damage. And I don't see anything wrong if I'm going to be out here trying to promote these hosts as I do, asking them to clean their breath up
What's wrong with that?
Okay, so the breath on talk show hosts is means what? I mean, you're at the convention. I wanted to talk about the decay of the format.
Oh, yeah, I bet you did. I bet that nothing makes you happier. Nothing makes you happier than to see people out of a job.
That's really unfair. I never said anything of the sort.
Phil didn't say it, but I'll say it. It would make me very happy to see half of these gloids. Yes, I said gloid. Okay, so you admit to it. Yes, I do. And I nothing would make me happier than to see half of these gloids out of the job. And I'm sitting in the same convention hall that you're sitting in, Mr. Hall, and I'm not sweating my, as you put it, balls off.
Okay, the word is unacceptable, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, I heard him say it.
I understand that, but I'd rather that we not listen to it. We're going to be right back here from the Talkers Convention. Herb Sewell, David G. Hall, and your phone calls coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss the death, possibly the death of conservative radio, of talk radio. And we invite you to visit our website, philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, access the 5,000 hours of our archived audio, tomorrow morning's podcast of this show, and of course the live video cast of this show. Welcome back, folks, to the Phil Hendry Show. And as we've said, we are rebooting the show, and that is we're taking our radio show from the platform it was on, and we're putting it on our very own platform. We're self-syndicating this show, and that means that we're in business for ourselves. And a lot of people are asking, boy, is that expensive, Phil? Is it difficult to do, Phil? How are you doing that, Phil? Why don't you have one of the bigger companies do it, Phil? Our radio show is an extremely unique offering. There's no other show like it on the air. There has been no other show like it on the air. And as a result, we need a professional, a thoroughly professional base of support. We need very professional salespeople, affiliate people. We need our own technical people. These are the demands that I have made, and we've partnered in with, as I've mentioned, on the old show. We partnered in with Ron Hartenbaum and his guys at WYD, the great folks at Dial Global, my good friend Amir Forrester, my good friend Elaine Hernandez.
There's a lot of women.
I'm sorry?
Well, there are a lot of women in your life, aren't there?
Yeah, there's you.
Yeah, you. What about it?
Am I talking to you? I don't think I am.
Whoa, hold on. What about it?
Well, I think it's just interesting, that's all.
What's that supposed to mean before we get into anything further? What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything other than the fact, Phil, that I think you enjoy, if I may say, I think there is a level of enjoyment you get out of manipulating women. And I'm not saying in a bad way.
Well, it sounds bad.
Why does that sound bad?
Does that sound bad because...
Am I talking to you?
Hold on, Robert, I got it. Why does that sound bad? I mean, I know why it sounds bad. It sounds bad because it sounds as if I'm manipulating women sexually.
I did not say that.
No, but that's exactly what happens. That's the perception. That's the impression that's given. A lot of women... I got a lot of people of every stripe, okay?
Yeah, you got men, you got women. And that's it. No, they have...
That's it. Men and women.
What about...
Never mind, men and women.
Well, are you talking about hermaphrodites? I don't know if he has...
I didn't say hermaphrodite.
I'm asking this one here.
What's a hermaphrodite?
He don't even know what a hermaphrodite is.
He don't even know what a hermaphrodite... Never mind, Bud. A hermaphrodite is.
Well, you said never mind, Bud.
I'll do it, okay? A hermaphrodite is someone who's both sexes. Okay?
What?
Never mind. God. So, this show is a entirely...
What, are you going to shake your head and give up?
Yeah, that's what I feel like, yeah. This show is an entirely unique offering, one that I dare say needs a unique support system. So that's what we're doing. And to everyone, that, as I mentioned, who listens, our affiliates, everybody that is starting out here from ground zero with us, you will, as we said on the website there yesterday, you will walk in glory with us as well. We're very excited about the venture, and we're extremely optimistic as to what we're going to be able to deliver. We had all manner of technical issues that arose over the last month, and I thought that really, you know, if you want the perfect capper, really the perfect capper on the story of the Phil Hendry Show getting up and running on its own two legs and sort of getting out from under the entire decrepit and decayed radio technocracy, you know, the old school, the old rotting radio infrastructure. The absolute perfect capper on all of that is the fact that for the last month we have endured technical problems and for a great many reasons having to do with the old guard, you know, having to transition service for instance, ISDN lines, having to deal with equipment issues, all of these things, trying to extract ourselves. And when I say extract, I mean it in the strictest sense, trying to literally pull ourselves out of the muck and the mire of having been locked in that old school swamp. That old school, old radio quicksand. Now, people don't like you saying these things. What happens is when you say these things, the old school, they jump all over you. The cranks, the chronics, the hacks, the weirdos, the Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous, all the weird asses, they all just want to jump on top of you and tell you what a terrible guy you are and how you don't appreciate this and you don't appreciate that. There's, I'm just telling you right now, this idea that, you know, you owe something or it's time to give back what the business has given you, I think that you don't have to take my word for it. You can take a look at the actions of a guy like Howard Stern, who wants nothing to do with the so-called Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago because, first of all, he's got nothing to give back to this business. This business did nothing but try to keep him down for a long time. What's he owe them? And he doesn't want to have anything to do with some hack's idea of what a Radio Hall of Fame is. And for my purposes, trying to syndicate my show and asking for a little bit of courtesy from the old school and old guard of radio, the old suits that I just got done working with, that I might as well be asking for gold bars. I might as well be asking for gold bars in the weight of all of their children or something. Which, you know, given how much money these cats make, their kids are probably 300 pounds apiece. That's probably not very nice, but...
That was not called for.
I apologize. But nonetheless, having to get out from underneath and solve these problems on our own has been challenging, but it has been nonetheless successful thus far and will continue to be, I'm sure. We're going to be, as I say, in the days and in the weeks ahead, maybe not so much the weeks, but certainly the days ahead, we're going to be rolling out some of the best material from our archives so that you can hear what our radio show has done, what our radio show is capable of, what our radio show will do in the future, and so forth. We're also going to be having on a lot of the people that have made our program so popular. We have with us, as a matter of fact, Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler. They are in San Francisco right now at Tootie's. I think this is Tootie's in the East Bay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Dean, how are you doing?
Hi, Phil. Emerelda just got on the bandstand, and she is going to be performing a set tonight here at Tootie's. This is a very unique club because it's an old-school jazz club out here in the East Bay, and we've wanted to have Emerelda... Hold on for a minute. I can't hear her.
Okay, now we got to let people know that your wife is a singer.
Hold on for a minute. Somebody, I can't hear her. What's that, Phil?
Your wife is a singer?
Well, I should hope she's a singer because, you know, I have, we've done our very best.
Shut up.
Hold on for a minute. Who are you talking? You talking to me?
Dean, if you're going to get into it.
No, 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 it's okay. Don't get nervous. What? I'm telling you to shut up. I'm trying to get away. The lady that you're referring to is my wife. I'm talking. I'm on the radio. I'm doing an interview. All right, well, I'm going to keep on talking. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be talking. You listen. And you know what, Phil? When's the last time I talked to you?
I guess probably about a month ago.
Yeah. Same horn player, same problem. You hear that? Do you hear how lousy he is?
Why don't you fire that guy? Why don't you fire that guy?
I have talked to... She doesn't want to fire the guy. And I've told you that I suspect... I do suspect that there's something going on between the two of them. It's a heartbreaking reality that I have to deal with. It's just something that I've got to deal with. But every time I hear that guy blow that horn, I really get angry. And I hate it.
All right, Dean, the reason why I have you on the program is we were just talking about conservative radio. You're a very noted liberal from the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, and I like the way you say liberal from the Bay Area. Yes, I am.
All right, I apologize, but your thoughts on the decline and decay of conservative radio?
Well, I think it's wonderful. It's the only thing that really makes me happy. When I listen to this guy blow a horn and I look at the way my wife is being received tonight. This place is a haunted house. There is maybe 5 tables full. The only thing that gives me joy is what you just said, whatever that was.
Conservative radio.
What about it?
Thank you very much, Dean.
You got it, Phil.
All right.
Well, that was a big fat waste of... What a great big... Yay! Nice open to the show, Phil.
This is the last hour of the show. Thank you very much, folks, for joining us on our program this evening. I thank all of our guests. I thank Bud Dickman and, of course, Robert. I thank you. And Margaret, I thank you. I also thank Brad Rifkin and Jay Santos. I thank Dean Wheeler. I thank David G. Hall. I thank Mitch Eckner and Rick Dubney. I was going to say get well soon, but, you know...
He's not going to get well. He's dying from alcoholicism.
We'll see you guys tomorrow night. World famous Phil Hendry Show.